Good evening, salutations, and welcome. I was going to do an episode a few days ago, but we had a sort of like a mini heat wave here in Sydney. For a September, normally the temperature is about 25 degrees on average, and it just, within a day or two, just rocketed up to about 35 degrees. It caught a lot of people off guard, and it was an interesting situation because it lasted for about 2 days, two, 3 days, and then it's dropped down again back to about 25, which is where it's supposed to be. But they said next week we may get something similar again. And in through that time, yes, yours truly was practicing the Bagua Zhang. And I have to admit, because the heat wave hit suddenly, I found myself doing it in air conditioning. Which is great for a while, but then, you know, because it's a sort of a dry heat outside, I really preferred to have been outside. And then in the evening, I did find myself going outside and training outside on the balcony in the nice balmy weather. So I'm saying this because I just want to remind everyone that no matter what the circumstances, with plenty of water, take your time. It is possible to practice Bagua Zhang. You don't have to wait for that special moment. Yes, in the literature, they always say practice at sunrise, practice during full moon, don't practice on concrete, practice on wood floor, and all this blah, 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 blah. But the fact is, if it's really your path, if it is really your path, you'll pay no heed to most of that stuff and you'll keep training. Most of that stuff is just poetic license to encourage people to keep going or to make the art more mystical. But the truth is, you need to cultivate your kung fu, which means hard work. Especially if you're doing it in an urban setting. For most of us who are listening to this podcast, unfortunately, we won't be able to go to China and do it in Wudang or in some forest or in the mountains somewhere over there. It's just out of our means. We dream about it, we want to do it, but it's just not, realistically, it's just not going to happen. We have too many other things going on for us, and the biggest one probably is finances or money. Then there are, for people like me, there's also, won't be going to America either anytime soon, even though I would love to. And there's a few people I'd like to meet and say hi to. A good shout out is to my friend Kisu. Some of you will know him from as the guy who did the poses for Avatar, The Last Airbender. We have a lot of things in common. Namely, this martial arts path. We both do an internal martial arts. We're both born on African soil. I'm from the south, which is Namibia. He's from the north, which is Morocco. We're both married to Asian women, i.e. Chinese women. And we both have dedicated our lives to it in different ways. But, so for me, America is not anytime soon. I would love to come and visit. I mean, in some ways, America has become, and I mean the United States, become sort of like another traditional home of martial arts. Not the traditional like you think of Kung Fu from China and Karate from Japan and Muay Thai from Thailand, that kind of thing, and then you got yoga from India. You naturally conjure up images of those places, and then you got some other ones. And typically, if you're living in America, you don't typically think of America being a traditional home. But from the outside looking in, it is, because, you know, for us who don't live in America, most of the martial art movies come from the United States. A lot of the martial arts stories through the movies in particular come from the United States. So there is this essence or the beginning of this essence of a martial arts tradition in the United States. It doesn't look anything like it, you know, from China or Japan, but it has its, for lack of a better word, you know, its unique flavor. And so, yeah, so, you know, we just down at this end have to struggle. We have our own sort of difficulties to deal with. And if you are training outside of the traditional zones, yes, it can be hard because you're not exactly tapping into the energy stream that's there. So everything is 100 times harder. It's not like you can just walk down the road and go visit your local wise man on the mountain like you can do in some countries. I'm not saying that you can actually, but there is a strong sense and feeling that you can, if that makes all sense. For some reason, that sounds totally messed up in my thinking, but you know what I mean. It's doing it the urban way, which is what I'm getting on about the urban path, is that you really have to cultivate your kung fu when you're doing ba gua zhang. You have to stick with it. You have to keep going. And it will be, for most of the time, a lonely path. Especially if you're dedicated to it. Because like we saw in COVID, most people gave up. They didn't even train at home. Even during lockdown, they just stopped. You know, I'm not even sure. When I'm thinking about this, I did want to talk about, you know, is there a right way or a wrong way to do bagua? And yes, there are wrong ways to do it, because if you do it certain ways, you're going to injure yourself. And yes, there are better ways or right ways to do it. But it's not really about that what I'm speaking about tonight. I'm just really trying to, I think, give a shout out to all you lonely buggers out there who are just struggling and you just want to keep going. You want to know you can keep going. And I just want to tell you that, yes, keep going. Part of doing bagua is like when you walk the circle. You know, when you first started walking the circle, you didn't see a circle. And if you were walking on grass, you would have known that the grass would have started wearing away from where you place your footwork. And eventually becomes a circle where there's no grass anymore along the path. And then eventually, if you're the kind who tends to slide and scuff, you sort of start to dig into the soil. So the path, the circle gets deeper and deeper. If you're training on, let's say, concrete, you will notice eventually after a while there is a sort of a dirty stain marking where your shoe tread has been going. Even if there's nothing there, you will sort of sense where your circle actually is. The point of this is, I guess I now know where I wanted to go with this podcast, is that somebody did ask me, and this is relating to the circle and everything, is that they asked me, I keep calling myself a living Tao. What does that actually mean? And to that person who asked me the question, thank you for sincerely asking, rather than going on the usual tangent which most people go, which is, oh, he thinks he's a living Tao. Oh, he thinks he's better than us. Oh, he thinks he's greater than us. Oh. No. It's not about being better than anyone. It's not about being greater. And I want to make this clear. When I say I'm a living Tao, which can be anyone, what it actually means is, you get to a place along your journey where the road stops. And I'm using the analogy of the road. So if you're one of those fuckers who go, the Tao that is the Tao can't be named, and you named it as a road, so it's not right, fuck off. Okay? Stop quoting books and start learning. What I'm talking about is, When you become a Taoist, you're basically, as lack of a better analogy, you're walking the path. And a lot of that path has been pre-paved, pre-made, pre-constructed. And I mean that by there have been masters before you walk the path. They've written their books, the Tao Te Ching, Chuang Tzu, Lei Tzu, whoever the fuck else. They've all done their philosophy and you're all reliving it. But there is a point in it where unless you go to China, Japan, where the path is very long, you're going to find yourself getting to a place where the road stops. There is no more road after that. What you see in front of you is a field with no road on it. That is a better analogy of the Tao that cannot be named. There is no road. You get to that place. Everything behind you was pre-made, pre-paved. You followed every master. But at some point, you have to walk your own path. That is what being a living Tao really is you're not breaking the rules. You're not changing anything much, but you're acknowledging the fact that for you, the path that you were walking on has stopped, and now you have to take those steps and move on. You don't have to. You can turn around and go back. Or you can just stay there where you are. I don't know, open up a shop, sell some brochures, do a bit of philosophical musing. I don't know, stay put. But being a living Tao means you keep moving. The living Tao part comes that while you are moving forward into the unknown, the path, you are actually creating a path behind you for others to follow. If they choose to follow it. So if you're another dick who goes and says, I don't want to follow you. I don't want to believe what you say. No, I said, it's just a path. You need to let go of that crap. If you choose not to follow my path, make your own path or follow someone else. The point is that you get to a place where for your experiences, your world where you're in, you're probably the first and only one creating the path. And if you're usually in a typical urban environment, and a lot of Bagua Zhang practitioners out there, come on, admit it, you're on your own. It's just you. Maybe on social media, like we all do, we post things, we meet other people, sometimes you go, but for the most part of it, you're on your own. You're training on your own, you're practicing on your own, you're meditating on your own. It's a singular, one-person cultivation path. But as you are training, you become the embodiment of Bagua Zhang. You become other people see, who are not martialists, they see in you what it means to be a martial artist, a real one. They see in you what it means to have Kung Fu. And they want it too, maybe. They see in you as an inspiration to others. Not because you're teaching or preaching, but because you embody it. You're the closest thing they have to those ideals. And what they see in you is also the truth of what it actually is versus what's in the movies, what's in the books, what's in the literature. And more importantly, if someone like this happened to me today, someone said, asked you about the Tao Te Ching example. You don't just speak from a place of academic learning like you've read the thing, but you speak from a place of experience of what it actually means. Doesn't have to be just the Tao Te Ching. It can be something to do with Bagua Zhang. In those experiences, they can feel it that you're the real deal. You know your shit. That is what being a living Tao really means. It's not about being greater than other people. It's not about causing others to feel jealousy and envy. None of that at all. So if you're put off by it, which I've seen happen, the numbers drop sometimes, then you're in the wrong place, because you just have to accept that that's the path. And a lot of people are just starting out. You know, around me at work, I have a lot of people. They know nothing about Taoism. They know nothing. They do nothing about Baguazhang. I have to try and explain to them the best I can do. You ever seen that martial art where the people go around in circles like crazy nuts? And they go, I think so. You know. But even a lot of Chinese don't know anything about Bagua. They don't know anything about Taoism either. And even for Chinese, it becomes really fascinating how there are Westerners out there who know more about it than they do. And it does get difficult to explain certain things because we're not supposed to know. We are not supposed to know more than them. That's the feeling you get off. But then there are a lot who are really appreciative because we know more because we don't have the same biases towards it. We don't have the same distorted upbringing that a lot of them do. And they're appreciative of it. What's more important is they see someone who literally has got Kung Fu inside of them. You know you have it because you keep going. And we stop trying to justify why we're doing it. We stop trying to seek validation why we're doing it. And strangely enough, we stop bragging about us doing it. And it's weird. It's like we stop even, you know, trying to claim that we are black belts of 10th Dan. We stop saying we have trained under this master or that. We stop going on about what lineage we're under, who's our master. We stop all of that because we know what's important is walking the Tao. That's the important thing. Cultivating ourselves and having the experiences. We understand what it is to walk the circle every day and keep going. Is there a right way to train? Yes, there is. Baguazhang stipulates a few things that if you train that way, you're training Baguazhang. If you're not training that way, you're not training Baguazhang. You're doing some other martial art, no matter what you tell yourself. Is there a wrong way to train? Yeah, there is. The same way, because those ones are like any other form of training. You train the wrong way and you're going to get injured, you're going to get sick, you're going to have problems. I did that a few times, and usually they involve things like trying to prove my worth to other people, trying to prove that I'm the best. No, I'm not the best. I just know that it's hard work, and I just know doing it in an urban setting is really hard work because you don't have any of the traditional, props, motivations, those things to really keep going. The best motivation I have is my wife because she's Chinese. A bit of exoticness always helps. My wife is like a bit of chili powder on a otherwise bland meal, For those of you who've got a wife from another country, you know what I mean. So, yeah. I'm basically asking for this podcast, for those of you who are open-minded, to come and see yourself like a living Tao. it's greater than being a philosophical Taoist. You're not just reading the literature and quoting Lao Tzu every 5 minutes. It's greater than just being a martial Taoist, which is just doing martial arts. And it's much more greater than being a spiritual Taoist or a religious Taoist. There is no needing to prove anyone when you become a living Taoist. All that matters is you just walk your path and keep going. And understand that at some point, you need to let go of the past and just keep moving forward. All the Taoist literatures out there, martial art books out there, and masters, they're good up to a point. But at some point, you have to let go. You have to jump and enter the void. You have to truly seek the Tao and become one with it. Not just daydream, but actually just go and embody it with your life.